This is such a rare time in the history of our world because right now we're all going through the same thing. Of course, it impacts us a little bit differently. Some of you are working harder than you've ever worked before. Some of you have to work outside the home, and every day you feel a little unsafe because you're around other people. Some of you are working from home for the first time, and it has posed many different challenges for you. Some of you are still working, but now you are navigating how to work differently. Some of you have been home for the last 2 weeks with little to no interaction with others. Some of you are struggling with interaction with others. You are having a hard time keeping your children on task as they do their schoolwork. Some of you are just having a hard time with being limited in what you can do. We're used to freedom. Some of you are worried because you're unemployed and you don't know what's going to happen and when that's going to change. The common thread for all of us is obviously COVID-19 crisis. And during this time, we all need to learn the same thing though. And that is that there is hope. Hope, according to the dictionary, is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. The hope that we all have in this crisis is that it will end soon, that we'll get back to normal, that people will not die, and the economy will not suffer too much. So here's what we naturally do when we look for hope. We look anywhere we can find it. Some people look to the people in charge for hope. So anytime there's a briefing from a governor or a president or lead doctors, we listen intently for glimmers of hope. Some look to the news to find hope. The news media, as we all know, has been guilty of instilling fear in people. And this was happening way before COVID-19. This is basically how they get eyes on screens. But now most people that you talk to will say things like this: I'm not even watching the news anymore. So interestingly enough, one of the major broadcasting stations changed their slogan this week, and they say this: we report facts and not fear. They're realizing people are sick and tired of being afraid, and they want hope. Some people look to what we have for hope. We look at our health, our family, our financial security, our possessions. We fall into the trap of thinking, as long as I'm not sick, I have hope. As long as my family is healthy, I have hope. As long as I have money in the bank, I have hope. As long as I'm stocked up on everything I need, I have hope. But in this crisis, one thing that has become abundantly clear is we can hear from leaders, we can hear from experts, we can get good news stories if we dig hard enough. We could stock up on things and find comfort in these areas, but as far as hope goes, these areas all fall short. Well, why? Because they can and will all change. They can and will all let us down. So by experience, we know this to be true, especially in a time like this. But do you realize this has always been true? People have always searched for hope, and they have always come up short when they looked in the wrong places. About 3,000 years ago, there was a king. His name was Solomon. He was the king of Israel. He was David's son. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived because God gave him that wisdom to rule his people. God gave him riches and health. In fact, he was probably the richest man that ever walked the face of the earth. In today's economy, it is said that King Solomon's net worth would have been $2 trillion. Yes, I said trillion. So here is a guy that was pretty much insulated from most crises because he had it all. But here is what he said about hope, and listen carefully. Proverbs 13:12. This is what Solomon said about hope. He says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life." So let's start with the first part of that verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Defer means to put off. So do you know the best way to defer real hope? The best way to defer real hope or put off real hope is put hope in the wrong thing. Because the more effort and the more time we put hope in the wrong thing, the sicker our heart becomes. So when we put our hope in leaders, when we put our hope in news stories, when we put our hope in what we have, we actually become sick, but it's actually a spiritual sickness. We are looking to find hope in the wrong place and putting off where we should really find hope. For example, maybe today you even got up and you searched the internet for news of hope in this crisis. You spent an hour looking around, and what did you find? Well, I'll tell you what you found. You found a waste of time, because it actually robbed you of time that you were putting off hope or deferring hope from where you could really find hope. See, every day we're reminded that people are getting sick, and we're all a little uneasy and wondering, am I getting sick? None of us want to be sick because we know what happens when we're sick. The first thing is we feel terrible. Most agree being sick is probably one of the worst things. Whether it's a common cold or an infection or a virus, when we are sick, all we can think about is what? I feel terrible, and when am I going to get better? Another thing about being sick is this. We are contagious. We put others at risk. This is why we're all staying home, to not put others at risk. This is a strange time, isn't it? When you have to go out to the store, it's really weird, right? Everyone's eyeing each other up. Does he look sick? Does she look sick? Or, oh, I heard a cough. You're looking down the aisles in the store and you see someone and think, I don't really need that item anymore. I don't feel like walking past another person. When you have to walk past someone, you have to do what I started to call in my head to myself, the 6 feet away dance. You're kind of looking, how am I going to get past this person? You know what? We start to think everyone is contagious. We're starting to see people not as people, but as carriers of a virus. It's not the way we should be living. But do you realize that before all of this and after all of this, everyone is actually sick? Everyone is spiritually sick. And the same two things are true about being spiritually sick. The first is this: we feel terrible. Why? Because we're looking at hope in the wrong places, or we're looking for hope in the wrong places. God created us to find hope in Him. That is why the rest of Proverbs 13:12 says this, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. What is the desire that we need to have fulfilled? Well, first and foremost, it's a relationship with Jesus, and that comes through the gospel message. The scriptures teach us this, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. In fact, we are sick with sin. Jesus Christ is that Savior. He came to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And 3 days later, He rose again to prove that He is God. And the scriptures tell us this, all who believe will have eternal life. Or in other words, all who believe will be spiritually healed. Remember what Romans 5:5 said? I read it in the beginning of this service. It says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know what? Trusting in Jesus cures our spiritual sickness and gives us hope. The desire we all have is a relationship with Jesus. You may not know it, but it actually is. So what is the tree of life? Because remember the verse said, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Well, in Revelation 22, the tree of life is in the new heavens and the new earth, when God makes all things new, and that's where we as believers will spend eternity forever with Him. Then we're not going to have to deal with this old sin-cursed world where wars happen, where sickness happens, where natural disasters happen, and all the other negative things that sin brings. The second thing that happens when we're spiritually sick is we are contagious. Actually, we're contagious to the people around us. Well, you might be thinking, how so? Well, people that don't know Jesus tend to spread what they believe as much as, or in some cases, more than believers actually do. They spread their bad theology about who God is and what He's done. They spread their no theology. They spread their negativity, and it becomes contagious. You may see this in yourself when you go to work or school. you're a believer, but because you're around non-believers, their attitudes and their language, you start to adopt some of their ways of thinking and the way they talk, their outlook on life. It actually becomes contagious. So the truth is, even as believers that have been spiritually made well, we can still fall into the trap of spiritual sickness. We can't actually lose our salvation, but we can lose our focus because we forget that our hope is in Jesus. So then the question becomes this: how do we get better? We have to seek remedies, right? There are remedies actually for spiritual sickness, and they are all pointing us to growing in our hope in Jesus. So as we talked about, this series is called Learning and Growing in Crisis. So we learned a little. Now we have to ask ourselves this question: how do we grow in our hope that we already have in Jesus during this crisis? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to be still. And some of you might be thinking, how much stiller can I get? I've been home for almost 2 weeks. But stillness is not necessarily not going places or not moving around. It is a calming of your heart and mind. In this very famous verse, Psalm 46:10, it says this. In the first part, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know what? We're being told by the Lord, be still and know, meaning calm your mind. Many of you have let your mind go to bad places during this time. You are in your home, you're afraid because of this virus, and your mind's not calm. You may be sitting on your couch in stillness, but your mind is not still. Your heart is not still. And that's because you're deferring your hope. You're putting your hope off and looking for hope in everything else except for the Lord. In the second part of the verse, the Lord says simply this. He says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Do you know what exalted means? It means taken the highest place. Do you know what I believe? And do you know what the scriptures teach? Through all this, the name of Jesus will be lifted up. I don't know exactly how it will, but it will. Jesus will use this crisis for his glory, and we can find hope in that. The next way that we grow in hope is our prayer life. You know what? We can't have a prayer life if we can't calm our hearts and our minds. What a great time to get serious about your prayer life. We need it. Our community needs it. Our state needs it. Our country needs it. And our world needs it. And guess what? We always did, and we always do. But it's times like these that really wake us up. It really wakes us up, not only to our own need for it, but the hope that we can daily have when we spend time in prayer with Jesus. You know what? This is such a timely verse for us today. I want you to listen carefully to this. In Romans 12:12, it says this, the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." So basically, if you can apply this to this time right now, we need to rejoice in the hope we have in Jesus. We need to be patient because we're going through a struggle, a tribulation, and we need to be constant in prayer. Finally, we can grow in hope by focusing in on God's promises. I don't expect this world to deliver. I expect that things will go wrong. I expect that people will let me down. I expect that leaders will make bad decisions. I expect that my stuff will get broken. I expect that there'll be many more crises in my lifetime. And that's why I choose not to put my hope in those things. I know I'm just deferring or putting off my hope when I actually do. I'm not being negative. I'm just saying my hope needs to be in the Lord. And if it's not, I'm going to be spiritually sick. So what are the promises that we should focus in on? Well, the first that we should focus in on, I'm going to name three this morning. We are loved by God. And we know that because of what he has already done. See, some would say, well, how could God be loving if something like this is going on? Well, we know the truth. that God loves us so much. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God shows his love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So we know that God loves us and he wants to rescue us from sin. And in fact, he's going to eventually rescue us from this sin-tainted world, because sin is the reason why these bad things happen, not God. The second promise that I want to remind you of this morning is this. He will never leave us. Hebrews 13:5-6 says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The scripture goes on to say this, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Some of you are very afraid right now. You're afraid to go out. You're afraid of what's going to happen in the future. You're afraid this is going to last very long. You're afraid that you might not have a job after all this is. Listen, he will never leave us. We need to trust in him and realize that he is there by our side. The third promise I want to bring to your attention this morning is this. He listens to our prayers. 1 Peter 3:12 says this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Some of you have been praying like I have been praying that this would all stop, and it hasn't. So we're wondering what's going on. Well, know this. God is listening to our prayers. He knows where our heart is, and he knows what our desires are, and he loves us and cares deeply for us, and he's listening to us. I linked an article in the resource link on this page on the Church Online platform, also on our website and on our app. On the resource link, there is another link called Promises of God. It goes more into depth of the promises of God. I want you to use that this week in your devotional. I want you to look at that link and look at that article and see what the promises are of God. Because you know what? If you don't place your hope in the Lord, you're going to be spiritually sick. So each day this week, I want you to spend time looking at those promises. Because the bottom line is this. When we put our hope in Jesus, we will not be spiritually sick. So this week, place your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the hope that we have in you. We're thankful, Lord, that through all these things that are going on, we can still find hope in you. I pray that we don't continue to look elsewhere for our hope, but only to you and your word. I pray that this week, Lord, that we would work on our spiritual lives so we can trust in your promises and listen to what you have to say. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.